I want to thank you very deeply for your contributions to the conversation of video games. I found them very eye-opening, heart-opening, mind-opening. Thank you so much. And so I obviously published them, and I've made some comments as in response that I invite you to listen to if you feel so inclined.
Debbie, thank you. Much, much, much gratitude for the conversation, for the... It felt much more like V1 in a way, being able to just reply and having that, you know, I haven't engaged much on Anchor lately. I haven't been present much. And I go through the different little phases like that where I focus on the now, and in that particular now, sometimes Anchor's not there. But today I went to it and I was done listening to Sylvia's station, Unity Eagle, and your station came on, and it was interesting, and I paused and put my thoughts in because of the experience that I've had, the relationship I have with the digital, with the creative tool that is a computer. The ability to do things greater than yourself. You know, the phone I hold in my hand now, if we went back to when I built my first computer, this thing would be an $800,000 machine just for the memory. Oh, no. That's my PC. The memory, the storage that's in this device would be well into the millions of dollars from just 20 years ago. And the value that that creates in being able to extend my consciousness beyond my current location. Like, I'm talking to you. I have no idea where you live. You're somewhere on this little spaceship we call Earth. And it's fascinating how these different... The art of storytelling has evolved with the video game. Especially in this last few years, the transition from it being much like that, what are those books called? Somebody called in and talked about Choose Your Own Adventure books, right? Or the Mad Libs and the stuff like that that we had when we were kids in the pre-digital age. They were very linear. It was like, here's the paths you have to choose and that's it. Well, the new video games, the new worlds, the people playing them asked and wanted open worlds, open characters, open things that they could do where they could create their own story with this. And so you're creating your own character through this adventure. You're being able to be that character from the book, but you're not limited to just the story and the things that happen with that. You know, we did it as kids playing imaginary make-believe. Now kids have Minecraft. And they can build out those things, and they can play in those worlds. And it's definitely a generational gap thing where it's, for some people, it's harder to have the awareness of it because they haven't experienced it. And I got a PS4 about a year and a half ago, and it was my very first gaming console. So really my first experience with the controller. And at first, I was such a noob. I ran around, you know, people shooting me, oh, what's that? You know, and just same experience you had. And I got frustrated by it many times and just quit. And then the more I did it, the more I gained confidence and I became better at it. And it was a challenge, like like learning a sport or any kind of hobby. It's amazing what that genre of creativity and entertainment can create for a person experiencing it. So I originally went to school, I wanted to be an architect, right? So I spent all of my junior high school years, my high school years up until the middle of my junior year, taking every drafting class and every single thing. That was what I wanted to do, was be a draftsman. And then I found art and watercolor painting. And I appreciate that experience I had in those years, that I spent that time learning that foundation of drawing. Many of the people that are in the video game industry, that are being creative, that are building those things, started out playing video games. And that passion for playing that game, for being in that now, for living that character, drove that passion into being able to do that as a way of life, so that they can go do what they love and be able to earn an income and provide for themselves and have the ability to respond to their responsibilities. And so, having a lack of awareness of the complexity of the creativity that's involved in those experiences is really, you owe it to yourself to see what, you know, it's like, okay, books to movies, right? Two different experiences. Everybody always says, oh, the book was better. Why is the book better? Because you were using your imagination to draw everything out. You had your own characters in your mind. You were painting that picture yourself. Why are video games better than movies? Because the movie is a linear experience of a story that's told. It's like a cutscene in a video game, right? Where the video game, the game itself, is an interactive, you control the narrative, you get to choose how you approach it, you get to have all those creative inputs and tell your own story. So you can see the progression of how each one has a higher complexity, and then on top of that, each game has its unique art style, it has its own kind of backstory, it has its own lore, especially if she's playing Skyrim. I've been waiting to play Skyrim. I've never played Skyrim. But this next year, they're bringing out Skyrim in VR. And so my first experience with Skyrim is going to be completely immersed in that world as a virtual character with hand controllers where I can run around and wield a sword. And you think video games are stationary things. Ha! Wait till you get a VR rig and you start dodging around and trying to do the same kind of things that you were doing before, but now you're jumping around your living room. Yeah, you have a goggle strapped to your face, but a friend can be on the other side of the planet with a goggle strapped to their face and standing right next to you. And you can have a sense of presence that you only feel in real world situations. So now, if you're telepresenting, like talking on the phone is pretty powerful. Talking the way that we talk through here is pretty powerful. Seeing somebody with video and talking to them is fairly powerful. When you're in the same space, engaged in challenges in these different scenarios as a avatar, your brain feels as if you're there. You're getting enough visual and other auditorial feedback that you are present in that new location, that new experience. And so, analogous to a dream, you have this amazing experience that you can share, unlike a dream. You can share dreams, but you have that ability to be able to be present with somebody. And the video games of us sitting on our butts are ending. we are going into a new era of it's going to be fascinating. So thank you again for your awesome conversation on your station, and I appreciate it very much, Debbie. I'm very passionate about this subject, and so I thank you for bringing it up. I think the other thing that most people that don't fully appreciate video games are missing in that is the incredible amount of art. Like you were talking about engaging with art, you know, when I create a painting and you see it and what you feel and see from it. Every single thing in that video game started out as a painting. Everybody, they have a concept artist, and their job is to do paintings of these different scenarios and these different scenes. And then you have a series of sculptors that will then sculpt all these different characters in these different pieces using different various 3D modeling and sculpting tools. And then you have these other artists that will paint and apply all the textures and scrutinize over all the details of the particular art style to make it feel, to make that painting come to life. And then they pass it off to the gameplay developers, the coders and the designers, and they say, we want to make this guy interact this way, and he needs to be able to move this way, and this is what we imagine it to be like. And then they go, I can do that magic. And they hit a keyboard a whole bunch of times. And then the guy goes around and they go, oh, yeah, that's amazing. And then as a final product, because a huge, massive consciousness says, I would love to play a game that had this kind of feeling, that I could experience these kinds of things, that I could play with this kind of art. And it fully comes to life so that they can then use their imagination with all that pre-creativity from the painting to the final preparation to send it out. And then you have the experience of the game. Is it a good experience? Is it a bad experience? Is it for you? Is it not for you? There's many, many games that I just don't care for. But there's many, many games that just absolutely fascinate me. And so there's such a wide variety of creativity that is being displayed and that's being inspired, because then that person that sees and plays that game goes, wow, I wonder how these games are made. And then they start looking into that and they go, oh, wow, look at all these different things that I could do that are creative, that are like play, because that's why games are fun. They are play. As a child, number one priority, play. Then we grow up and we forget how to play. Quit playing! Go do your homework! Well, who's really saying that? If we had, in our little domiciles, in our little areas, all the food that we needed, all the power on the house, and the ability to follow our creativity and have fun and follow what's unschool ourselves, unwork ourselves, unjob ourselves. That's a thing. You think unschooling was a big, powerful thing. You need to unjob yourself. And if we were able to create this environment to where we had all of our needs provided for us, why would we go to a job? Why would we do anything? You do it for two reasons. Appreciation and attention. The things that you put your attention on, you appreciate. And if you have to put your attention on something you do not appreciate, there's a disconnect. There's a feeling of dissonance. That's that buzz that you feel that's not harmonious, that doesn't feel like Christmas morning. If it doesn't feel like Christmas morning, you're not in alignment with what you need to be doing. So the key is, how can I find that Christmas morning feeling, that buzz of excitement in everything that I do? Even if what I'm having to do is not where I want to be in the right now, how can I have the most now moment in what that is that I'm doing. And if you do that, whether it's in video gaming or in your job or in your school, you will find yourself leading yourself to things that fill that joy and that passion so much more if you allow yourself to follow that path. It doesn't look like anyone else's path because it's your path. You have that unique. And here's the other thing about appreciating the now and being present in your life and intentional in the moment that you're living. If you focus on the past, you are bringing that energy into the present in order for you to experience it in the future. So do yourself a favor and notice that your book is unwritten. There's no script that says you have to keep doing what you're doing. Right? The beauty of this is that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, but also when you change the way you feel about things, the way that you react to things, and also the nomenclature, the words, the verbal programming that you're spewing out of your face skull. Each one of those words that you spit out your mouth is a program, is a command to the universe to bring back the resonation of this frequency that I'm putting out, whether it's through your mind, through your mouth, or through your actions. But it all comes down to your state of being and how to maintain that state of being regardless of what that situation appears to be around the outside of you. And I had to put myself through some really extreme tests of experiencing that. I look back at it and I'm so appreciative for what I learned through those different experiences. And I learned a while back to take every experience and go, okay, what benefit in 5 years is this going to have to my being? If it makes absolutely no difference, then why would you put any energy into it right now? If it is going to be something that's leading you in the direction that you need to go, then you need to put more attention on it. And I say this to you as well as to myself. Because when I talk on Anchor, when I share my thoughts and my ideas and my creativity with others, I've realized that a lot of times it is inspired through that connection and that calling and that questioning. But I'm learning many times myself as I'm speaking also, because I remind myself of these different things that I've come to awareness of, and how much am I being in the present, in the moment of that. And I invite you guys to watch this show on Gaia, gaia.com, called Missing Links with Greg Braden. He's a fascinating scientist. He's also a teacher and a spiritual leader, just really, really all-around beautiful person. And he has this show on Gaia called Missing Links, and it really helps open your awareness to, well, it just helps open your awareness. I'll allow you to see what it opens your particular awareness to. Sylvia and I watched an episode last night, and it was very eye-opening, and it really was validating a lot of the things that I had sensed and intuitively had, and it was so interesting to see these different things being validated from the outside. So, fascinating, fascinating, very, very insightful. If your inquiring little mind and curiosity lead you that way. Have fun, and we can talk about it here on Anchor.fm. You're listening to Aloistic Artist, allowing creativity to flow from whatever excites me. Have a beautiful day, my friends. Have a beautiful day. See beauty to experience beauty. In this moment of now, I ask you all to keep my little brother Tommy in your thoughts and prayers. He's dealing with a bout of carbon monoxide poisoning. He and his wife were staying at a hotel, and they had their granddaughter and the nanny with them, and fortunately they ended up putting them in a different room, but there was an incident at the hotel where something was not lit and they got carbon monoxide poisoning. And luckily Tommy had set an alarm on his phone so that they could get up for breakfast. And but they ended up going to the hospital, and Tommy's been in having to go into the hyperbaric chamber, and they've got him on oxygen, and it's been 4 days now, so he's not recovering as quickly as Angie did, but he had to put out a lot more energy and to basically save his wife. I mean, it was very scary. They were so fortunate that their granddaughter was not with them. But I just wanted to reach out to you guys and ask for your prayers and your thoughts for my little brother as he's going through this experience. I'm going to send him lots of light and love, energy and healing, and wish him the best. So I appreciate you guys doing the same. Wherever you're at, just keep my little brother Tommy in your thoughts. Thank you. You're very close. You're very, very close. But you keep talking about the brain and you forget about the heart. It is a dual. They've found that there is actually a neural network that can be created between the heart and mind. And when you follow your heart, that's where you're following that joy and excitement. That's where the excitement of playing that game, it's really about fulfilling that excitement, because that joy and excitement is your higher self, your soul, playing this video game we call life, leading you in the direction to bring you more things that are exciting and joyful for your life. I know that's a little off of video game tech, but hear me out here. Next wave. All right, so I call myself an aloistic artist to remind myself to allow that creativity to flow. Now you go, how can creativity stem from the act of playing a video game? Evidently you've never played Minecraft. There is this huge movement that has changed to a more open world, player-controlled, player-created, with a huge level of crafting built into it. And so there's different games. Like, there's a little game I'm playing right now. It's a post-apocalyptic, you know, Mad Max type of a world where you build these little machines and you go out and fight each other. And on the surface, if you're just looking at first level story, yeah, it sounds terrible. But the creativity that comes in with playing... next wave. The creativity that's engaged in building something. Like, what's beautiful about this game is that you craft your own vehicle. So you put the wheels where you want to put it, you put the little guns where you want to put it, and it uses a physics engine that mimics our actual real-world physics. And then you have to drive this thing. And if you build it derpy, that thing's going to drive derpy. If you put too big of a gun on and you don't have it balanced right, you're going to shoot that gun and boom, you're going to fall over backwards and they're all going to blow all your wheels off and you're done. And the creativity of building these different little things has led me and allowed me to build a lot of things that I had been building in my mind, but have a physical interface to be able to play with those ideas. And it's really about engaging play, the value of play. The other thing is that in the now that we live in, the experience is stuck to this little screen, which we've been experiencing for the last 20 years as our paradigm growing more and more to the screen. We are about to break free of that screen. With where technology is going, the next phase of this is both in a mixed reality to where you're seeing that game world play out in your real world. So you could sit in your living room and build a Minecraft world like you would with Legos. But now you can walk around it and you can experience it from different angles. And so the current paradigm is confusing to a mind that's not aware of where it's going. I need to get back to the heart-mind thing. All right, there is a website called Gaia.com, and they have a show called Missing Links with Greg Braden. He's from New Mexico, and he's an amazing teacher, has studied all the native cultures, and he's also a scientist and a degree, I think he was a geologist. His series called Missing Links on Gaia, it is a little paywall, but there's a lot of fascinating, really, really very inspired information to watch there. There is studies that have been, that he talks about, of the heart-mind science, and that there is a neural network between the mind and the heart. And with a practice of meditation, you can really get the two of them to work together as a coherent pair, just like the left and right. And here's one of the things that I would give as an advice for your worry. Worry about your child not doing something right and it creating a bad future for them is using your imagination to create something you do not want. That's all worry is. Worry is engaging the imagination, trying to manifest something that you do not want to experience. And then you're surprised, oh my gosh, it showed up. Use your imagination to create things in your life that you do want. I had to fire my boss, which was my little brother, to be able to follow my heart back to New Mexico, to get back to my art and to the things that really fired my heart up. And so, follow your heart, and your mind will follow. And living in the now, being in the now, being present in this moment is not some hippy-dippy, trippy thing that you should just shuffle off and kind of hoo-hoo-woo-woo. It is truly the most important thing you can do is to be present in the now. Being absolutely 100% in that moment, in the now. And being engaged in that now. And in a way, I think we're not really seeking disengagement. We are seeking engagement. Because when we engage in that video game, you are so focused in what you're doing in that moment and that now that you're experiencing that nothing else matters in that moment. And now, along with that being in the now, what's really important to engage is segment intending. So we all have the same amount of time every day. So what we do with our time, those segments, and when I engage in a segment, everything else is on the back burner. There's no such thing as an emergency. I focus on that particular thing. When I'm done with that particular thing, I'll go do whatever the next segment is. And that usually follows from what excites me most. Sometimes it's jumping on my bicycle and taking a ride. Sometimes it's sitting down and engaging in a video game. Sometimes it's sitting painting. But I try to focus on that now moment and being aware and observing that feedback from that moment. I've got another one on this. The other thing is conscious, intentional awareness, right? We tend to not realize the power of our words, the power of this now moment. Think of it this way. Your state of being that you're holding, that vibration that you're feeling in your heart, is likened to a Google query to the universe, right? So whatever you're asking for in your heart in that moment is currently being arranged, aligned, and brought back to you as a reflection of your reality. So if you react to that reflection of your reality, then that pushes forward that state of being. So you get caught in this little loop. But the beauty of it is you can switch that. We come into this life without an instruction manual. But as a child, we intuitively do all the things that are joyful to us. That's why play is so important to a child. That act of play is engaging their imagination and their fun, right? They're all about following the fun. And then we get programmed into this other way of being because of the certain current situations and circumstances that our world presents us. Well, if you can come to the awareness that your emotions are your feedback mechanism to tell you what you are currently manifesting, what in this particular now you're attracting, then you have that greater awareness. And consciousness is the awareness of being aware. And you know, it's funny about the unschooling. I am still unschooling myself. I follow that curiosity. Like recently, I've been really fascinated about electricity, and the different terminologies and how the things relate to each other, and how to build a battery pack, and how to build my own battery pack for my bicycle, and also for the house, and for, you know, how to build a little electric vehicle and all these things. So I've been really diving into all these different types of little inquiries. And it's amazing how when you start from a point of view of state of being, like I put on happiness and joy and love, and then I make sure everything else fits with that, and I approach and push off everything or give off that energy to everything. So for me to come to these different awarenesses, it took me quitting the best job I could have ever had because I realized I was not following my joy and excitement at that place, and I was spending all of my time building somebody else's dream, which was my brother's. And I needed the time. To me, the time was more valuable than the money. And so I chose my time over all those other things that everybody says is important. And I stripped everything down to where it didn't require as much money so that I could trade out a little bit of time and get the money that I needed so that I could really focus on what it was I needed to become and who I really was. But that brought me back to my third part of it, which, you know, when I turned 21, I gave up hurrying, worrying, and caring what anyone else thought about me. Giving up hurrying allowed the synchronicities to line up, the coincidences. And I call a coincident a co-created incident. That is a co-created incident with me and the universe, with my particular little avatar for my soul, as I'm playing out this video game we call life. And the more you can follow that in the moment joy and excitement. Now, I'm not saying you're kicking off responsibility. Responsibility is merely the ability to respond. It's having that correct response and awareness. Is, you know, the ironic thing is that we're constantly searching outside of ourselves for the answer. When in truth and practice, the answer is always within. But it takes that segment intending to go into that spot of meditation to where you withdraw within and bring that awareness to the stillness and allow for those insights, those sights, those visions from within to lead you to the next little step. That's what video games also teach, is challenging that, you know, and having that little breakthrough. So interesting. From that stillness of the meditation, and the beauty is, meditation used to be a lot more difficult practice. They have so many beautiful technologies now because they realize that the brain, when you synchronize the two halves together, actually increases your IQ, it increases your awareness. There's so many different benefits from it. And there's different simple little audio techniques with, they call them binaural beats. You can beat a frequency of a hertz difference between the two ears, and the brain will hear this wah 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 kind of a sound, and it will over time, very short time, synchronize the two halves of your brain and bring them into the same kind of meditative state that it would take a Zen Buddhist monk to achieve. So meditation or prayer or being in nature alone and still all has the same effect. What you're doing is you're increasing your vibrational state. Think of it as turning the volume up on your stereo, right? So you're turning up that volume of reception or amplitude. You're cranking up the amps, but you're lowering the voltage, right? So you're not spinning as fast. You're not running around trying to process everything and bringing in outside information. Because one of the things that's fascinating is how what we perceive that we see out in front of us is actually not the way that our eyes present it to us. It's translated by the brain to create this image. More on that. So in my studies of virtual reality and computer game development and the art and creation behind that, I heard this amazing talk by the scientist who had studied the way the eye works and the way that our brain perceives it and how the image that's being presented and the way that the mind interprets it to give you the stable image that we see. Because if you take and push on your eyelid so that your eye kind of like just jiggles, you'll see it kind of wobble wibble the world. Well, when you're looking around at different areas, it's just like taking your phone and pointing it at those areas. Everything's at a different angle when you're taking that image in. But there's a part of the brain that right when it sends that signal that I'm going to look this way, it reorients that picture in your mind so that that lines up. And they were able to prove that this is the way that it works by deadening the nerve so that the intention to look that way was there, right? So the internal mechanism that says, okay, I need to shift it 45 degrees plus this in order for that image to line up. What happened was when you would try to look around, these test subjects had their eyes basically numbed, so they could try to look around at different things, but they could only look straight. And it's like your eyeballs were paralyzed. But when they would try to look that way, the whole world would move around. And so they realized that we paint a picture of our reality through our perceptions and our biases. And so the more judgments you carry, the more clouded your vision is of what is truly in front of you. It's like a photo. So as I started to become more aware, when I started practicing meditation and using these different tools, I also heard Dr. Wayne Dyer say this key phrase. He said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I looking at things? And I realized that the town that I was living in, I was still looking at it from that perception of, this is the town I tried to get out of. And I switched that to, this is the most beautiful spot on the planet I've ever been. And how can I see more beauty around me? Let me look for it. Let me look for the beauty in the world. And I started to see more beauty. And I started to see patterns. And I started to see textures that I never observed before. And the raw beauty of things. It's like with my art. I've done very many hyper-photorealistic type paintings. And I had tried to achieve that perfection of realism. And along the side of that grew this ever-increasing ability to create realistic images, so that by the time I had achieved that and I would show these amazing paintings, people would go, wow, that looks like a photo. And their mind, their engagement, boop, would shut off. But when I paint abstracts, and I put in textures of color and patterns of energy and movement, people engage and they go, ooh, look at that. Did you see that? Oh my gosh, look at this. Because our brain is always creating patterns and looking for those patterns out there in the world. So one of the things I advise is to look at things without labels. Observe everything with the wonderment of a child, seeing it for the first time. And you'd be amazed. Simple things like water coming out of the faucet over your hands while you're washing them. If you're present, truly present in that moment and appreciating the thermodynamics of the water and what it took to get there, and just the beauty of those molecules and the way that they're arranged and the way they refract the light and the way the faucet reflects the light off of the mirror in front of you and the color bouncing off of the sink. It's all those little things that when you see that in video games and realize what it takes in order to create that kind of an illusion, it's fascinating. Thank you for this conversation. I just want to say thank you very much for making this feel a lot more like B1. And I'm going to go play some video games now. Have a great and wonderful day. And thank you for inspiring that flow of words that came through me. And thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts and my awarenesses with you. I hope you can wash away your judgment and labels and see the now for the beauty that it is. Have a wonderful and beautiful day, my friend. This is Alistic Artist, over and out. Wow. Thank you, Debbie, for creating such an interesting platform of topic. And the synchronicity, the co-created incident that I landed on your page, on your station, to be able to share those insights that I've had about the video game. And, you know, I used to have a very different view of it. My first wife was very into video games, and I just didn't get it. I tried to play it, and I just didn't like it, and she was playing World of Warcraft, but she was also deaf. And on the game, she could type 120 words per minute. So she was extremely fluent, and everybody was speaking to her in text. And so she could engage with all these people in a way that she couldn't interact as fluently in the real world. And I didn't appreciate that, and through that, I ended up losing my relationship and my daughter. Actually, it did end up being because of video games. She actually found somebody in there, and it ended up being the seed that broke our relationship apart. But looking back at it and appreciating why I had to go through those experiences, and seeing now her life and my daughter's life and how happy they are and how she is experiencing what she had really wanted that I was not able to be able to provide for her at that time. I look backwards at things in a totally new light now. I used to look at them and criticize myself about how I could do things different. And now I look back at different experiences and I try to look for the seed of growth that came out of those different experiences. What did I learn? How could I approach a new situation with a much more open heart and awareness and appreciation for what the other person was going through, what their experience was, and being less caught up in my own experience. And so through all my different experiences, it's taught me a lot about how we react is so vitally important, because if we react in the same like manner of what we're presented with, then we are doing no different than, you know, if you do a Google search for something, you expect that Google search to come back, right? Well, if your heart and your state of being is always saying can't, won't, don't, and all these other negative words, and you're constantly getting back can't, won't, and don't in your experience, that would be like putting in an inquiry and getting the opposite inquiry when you Google something. You would be very upset if you got something different than what you inquired, right? What you searched for. You would change your search. You would put a different search term in. You would put a different intention out. And it's the same thing with our beingness. When you put a different beingness out, you're putting a different signal to the universe of what experience you're expecting to have. And when you approach something that would be perceived as a negative experience or a confrontational experience, if you come from that to that with an open, labelless, judgeless mind and heart connection, you can allow that to be without putting that onto yourself. And you become, I don't even know how to describe it, an energetic beacon, maybe? It takes proving it over and over to your mind before your little ego will appreciate and relax to the heart, is kind of the way I feel about it. Back on the video game subject, and Debbie, if you want to echo this to your channel, that's totally cool. It definitely depends on the video game, which game people are engaging with, because there are some out there that, well, it really depends on the individual. See, that's the one thing that the one uniqueness that each and every one of us have that makes us all beautiful and unique in this world is our point of view, our perspective. That one unique perspective of where we see the world from is the one thing that we hold true as an individuated self in this sea of consciousness. And so when somebody is doing the best of what they feel in their situation, and somebody else comes along and confrontationally opposes that or juxtaposition it a different energy, then it think of it like music. If you're sitting along playing a particular note and somebody else comes along and plays a note completely out of key or the opposite of what you're playing, then it silences it. If you do something that's in harmony with it, it amplifies it. It sings together. It becomes harmonious. And so it's like putting color on canvas. There's colors that will work together and colors that will battle. And they'll fight for your visual attention. And so it's how we approach that in appreciating and valuing that unique point of view that each person, young or old, carries. And then seeing them with their ultimate potential and appreciating them for where they're at and allowing them to grow from that point of view of where they're at. And I think it's most important to observe what we observe that we dislike about in others back into ourselves. What is it that is annoying about this particular situation to you that's telling something to you that you don't like about yourself? Because reality is a mirror to your consciousness and to your state of being. And so when you find things that you label as the dislike pile, that's always a key back to you of what am I holding in myself that I'm identifying in that. And then allowing to let that go and seeing it from this new point of view and really allowing things to be. Now, when you're trying to guide a young mind along, what you need to do is identify and appreciate what it is they value about that engagement that they're doing. And I think that's where it's so key in having that open dialogue and appreciating what they value to spend their time on. What part of play that you used to, you know, find what's the analogous of what their young mind is with my young mind, right? Pull yourself back to the age and the awareness of where was I at this age? What was I engaged in? What made me excited? What would my young self appreciate what my little young one is engaged in? And how can I engage in it from that point of view of where my awareness was at that time and see what's their excitement and joy in this particular experience at this time from that point of view? Because you have to realize they don't have all that other experience. It's easy to criticize somebody when they don't have the awareness, but it's more beautiful to allow them to grow in that awareness by appreciating what it is they value. So that was some really wordy stuff, man. Hope you've been enjoying this conversation today. I know I have. This is Alistic Artist, over and out.